Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The Somerville restaurant Sarma has been in business just 3.5 years, and co-owner and executive chef Cassie Puma has already racked up several awards. She made Eater's list of best restaurants in America, and she just received her second James Beard nomination for Best Chef Northeast. Puma co-owns the restaurant with other business partners, including Anna Sortoon from Oleana. At one time, Puma managed, or worked at, rather, Sortoon's Cambridge restaurant, Oleana. We wanted to find out how Puma earned such rave reviews, so we stopped by her kitchen this week. While whipping up a complex Middle Eastern-inspired dish, she explained why she dropped her pre-med plans for a career in the kitchen.
For you guys today, I'm going to make the cauliflower fatih. Fatih is a layered bread dish. It hails from Lebanon. This is a very interpretive version of the traditional one, but I think typically you would find meat or vegetables that get layered with like fried bread of some sort and yogurt. It's a lot of fun to eat. Like, it's got a lot of texture and interesting layers of flavor. I hate saying that. It sounds like every chef says that all the time, but it really does. It's just like layers and layers of different flavors and textures. I'm going to start by getting a pan nice and hot here with lots of olive oil. And I have some different colored cauliflower.
Why Middle Eastern cooking?
Why in general?
Yeah, why did you decide to open a restaurant that focused on Middle Eastern cooking? It's got a whole Middle Eastern theme. You've got turquoise, purple, you've got the mosaic lamps. It's very Middle Eastern. Why was this the kind of, what drew you to this type of cooking?
I think it's, you know, exciting food. It has lots of spices and herbs and really deep flavors. It's rich and satisfying without being heavy or, you know, cloying. I'm, you know, half Greek, so I kind of grew up eating a lot of feta cheese and olives and things like that, so I think it's kind of in my blood. But I also worked at Oleana for over a decade in Cambridge. That was a big part of my education. I really grew to love the flavors there as well, so. I hate mushy vegetables, and I like cauliflower a little more al dente, so I'm going to try to get a nice sear on one side, but keep the other side a little crispy. People get scared when they watch us season because we have an open kitchen, so you can see everything. We really like to push the levels of salt in this kitchen.
You've got quite a wrist flip there to put the salt on. It looks very... I'm intimidated by the wrist flip. I just want to say.
It's fun. I love watching people season their food.
Now, I see other women working here.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got primarily a woman-dominated kitchen.
Yeah, at this point, we are an almost all-female kitchen, which we're really proud of. We have two men working who are great, and, you know, I support women in this industry, and I think that the women who do work here are extremely focused and driven, and they really make this place feel special. Like, the energy, the female energy can be really wonderful.
Is it unusual to have an all-female kitchen?
Yes. I think that women are driven to other, you know, strong women, and they want to be in sort of a like-minded kitchen and atmosphere, place where they feel comfortable to kind of express their views and, you know, really be themselves. And
I think those pots are boiling over. Holy cow. So we're not ruining your meal, are we?
Oh, no. It's just a delicious scum that comes off the chickpeas. Probably shouldn't use that word, but that's what we call it.
We recently had Chef Barbara Lynch on our show talking about cooking and her new book, and you worked with her.
I did. I love Barbara. She's the greatest. I worked there for at the butcher shop for about a year.
You know what she said to us that was interesting was that she said she wasn't a foodie. If she's alone, she has a very simple meal, but it's something about cooking for others that really motivates her. Are you in that same camp, would you say? Or
I would say so. I mean, I have pretty simple, straightforward taste. I think in my own time, when I'm cooking at home, I just kind of want like a roasted chicken and some potatoes.
Right. Well, I could understand that, you know, it can be tiring to cook all the time, even when in your downtime. But I also wonder if there's something else there about nurturing people. That's sort of what cooking does for you. That's sort of to make this, you know, to please other people with food. What is that?
You live for the smile. You live for the smile that it puts on people's faces. And I don't think it comes from like a narcissistic, like, hey, look at my food. Look what I did for you. I really think it comes from like almost like a maternal, like, you know, whatever happened during your day that maybe wasn't so good. Maybe you got yelled at by your boss or your kids were being a pain. You get to come out and, you know, have this really nice, relaxing meal and you get to feel special and walk out of here feeling better than when you came in.
It's a good goal.
Yeah. I would try.
When did you decide you wanted to cook? You went to school for pre-med initially, right?
I did, yeah. I went to school for pre-med.
Still nurturing. Different kind, right?
Sure. I wanted to help people, I think, but I was a little misguided. I think I just thought I went to like kind of a college preparatory school and, you know, I got good grades and kind of focused in school and I just thought that's what you do. It wasn't really for me so much in the fact that it was very black and white. There wasn't a lot of creativity and there wasn't a lot of room for, expressing ideas. With cooking, it's, the possibilities are sort of limitless and you can really, it's art.
I've been here before. It's fabulous. And I love when the servers come out and ask us if we want the chef special, right?
Right,
is that
yeah.
what it's, it is what it's called? Am
yeah,
I saying the
yeah,
right
sure.
thing? And sort of what's not on the menu. Where did that idea come from and how does that work exactly behind the scenes?
Well, when Anna and I were on a trip to Turkey, before we opened Sarma, we were investigating mehanes, which are a traditional sort of like a kind of like a taverna or a drinking house where people kind of congregate in Turkey to socialize and to drink, of course, and then to have like some small bites. And they do it sort of in an unusual way where a server will come around with this like big giant silver tray. And sort of like dim sum, it will have everything sort of pre-plated, and you visually kind of take a gander, and then you point to which items you want, and then they'll take off and then come back with the dishes that you pointed to. So we kind of worked off that concept a little bit, but what we actually do is like it's more of a, you know, in the moment kind of experience. So we plate the special dishes, you accept the dish off the tray, and it actually comes to you right in the moment. You don't have to, like, wait for it. It doesn't come back from the kitchen, which is kind of great. So it kind of gets people involved in the experience.
And so every night are you back here thinking, what's going to be our special that we're going to take out tonight and see if people want to try? And
there's a few dishes that make their way on the rotations, like, more frequently. For example, our sesame fried chicken, which that might be the signature dish. That one has a bit of a cult following.
I'm a culty.
Are you?
Oh,
are you in it?
Oh, it's so good.
I love it, too, but I think I don't know if I can ever come back from when I experimented with it. I tested it, like, for 3 weeks straight when I first put it on the menu, and I look at it sometimes and I don't know if I can get past the fact that I ate like 3 weeks worth of fried chicken. Alright, so this is starting to look pretty good. So let's see, we have the black garlic tahini on the bottom, the crispy bread, the seared cauliflower tossed with a little tomato garlic confit, and then I'm gonna spoon over this seasoned local yogurt.
That is beautiful.
Thank you.
And now pine nuts.
Pine nuts with butter. And last but not least, a few of these little seared kumquats right on top.
Look at that. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, there's beautiful. Lots of orange. Stuff going on. Do you want to eat it?
You don't have to if you don't want to. Really? Are you kidding?
I know it's early in the morning, maybe for cauliflower, but you're more than welcome to.
I'd love to.
All right,
taste.
Let me get some spoon.
That is a big spoonful. Did it come out right?
Mm.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Lots of fun flavors, and it's like acidic and bright, but it feels kind of rich. but it's actually really healthy at the end of the day. There's not anything in there. Maybe a little butter on the pine nuts, but there's nothing in there that's super bad for you.
But that whole combination is amazing. Now, did you, learn this, or do you kind of experiment? Because who would have thought, cauliflower, chickpeas, pine nuts, kumquats, garlic, tahini. You got a lot of stuff in them.
There is. I think there's, kind of a formula to cooking this stuff, and the one thing that I think I really took away from working with Anna and working at Oleana for so long is that it's important to respect the flavor profiles that are sort of already existing. It's okay to be creative and change stuff around and to put your spin on it, but you should really understand the underlying basic profile of the food.
Now, you've been open for 4 years?
Almost. A little over 3.5.
And now you're a James Beard nominated Best Chef Northeast.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you surprised?
I am, actually. Yeah. Yes, very surprised.
That's a short time.
It is. I'm over the moon. I'm very grateful, and I'm very honored, and I'm surprised. But on the same note, like I said, we have a very hardworking, wonderful group of people who work here.
So what's next for you?
Next, let's see. I have two little girls. I have one who's 22 months and one that's 5 months. So, I gotta be honest, I'm pretty busy all around. When I'm not here, I'm with them, and when I'm not with them, I'm here. And I know everybody likes to hear about the next new restaurant that's opening and the next venture and all that, but for me, I really feel strongly about doing something and doing it well. And I think in a time when people are really quick to kind of jump around and, like I said, always on the lookout for the new thing, I am more like, let's make this place great. Let's keep this super consistent. Let's keep building this restaurant and growing it and making it the kind of place that people are going to come to for years on end, where people just consistently want to come here and party and eat great food and drink and socialize and have fun and celebrate.
Cassie Puma is executive chef and co-owner at Sarma in Somerville. She's a James Beard nominee for Best Chef Northeast. For a photo of that cauliflower fat tea, you can go to our website, radioboston.org. That's it for today and this week. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.